And my mouth was so dry. I was so nervous, and my lips stuck to the cup like this. And it was awful. I spoke all the time like this. So it was very fast message. But what an awesome time of worship. Oh, just feeling the presence of God. And, you know, just being here earlier this morning and just enjoying the rugby game together. Just hearing the familiar laughter, seeing the attitudes and oh, whānau, yes, amen, amen, amen. Love the scripture you brought this morning, Ben. I wanted to read this to you before I started. Just knowing that, we don't just chuck out a prayer to the universe. But, because there are many people who say they pray to the universe. But we pray to the God, to our, believe it or not, Father, who created the very universe that they are praying to. Can we get our minds in ours? You can't get your mind, but our spirits, if we can begin to wrap ourselves around that revelation of who we are and what we've got. What an amazing, amazing thing. And I just saw the scripture this week, and I found it in the message, because I love to check the different translations. This is in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 23, and it says this: all this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, to rugby teams. No name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all and has the final word on everything. Now, at the center of all this, Christ rules the church. Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. Can you imagine? Wow. 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 What's happening out there is on the periphery of what's happening in here. Huh? Amen. And what's happening everywhere? What's happening in Israel? The church is peripheral. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts. Wow. Wow, what an honor we have. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. And God wants to fill the nations with his presence. God wants to fill cities and rooms and workplaces with his presence. And he's outside of time and place. And anyway, I just had to bring that scripture because it's awesome and I want to grasp some of that. And this is the church. We're the most powerful force on the planet. Amen. 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 So I come out of this church, 1984. I gave my heart amongst a gathering of you. And, over a series of about 6 years, I learned some wonderful things. I learned that there's a real spiritual dimension. I learned that when I give, I get. And I don't give to get. I give because I already got it. My dad owns the very universe. And so I learnt that there's a real spiritual dynamic in that. And I also learnt that I could speak in tongues. I could speak in tongues and I could worship in tongues. And there's a spiritual dimension and gifting in that. That is so powerful, so important. What a wonderful thing. So I grew in these particular things. They're just so important to me. Faith, giving, knowing where the spiritual dynamics of speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. When my mind is so small, but my spirit can be enlarged. And I continued to grow in those things. And I learned that I was part of this amazing story, a romance and an adventure. A romance and an adventure. Worship and walking by faith. Worship and walking by faith. A romance and an adventure. That's my story, but I'm also part of a much bigger story. And we're all much a part of a much bigger story that encompasses history and encompasses the globe. And this little church here plays a big part. This church here plays a big part. A big part in what's happening in the nations. You know, this church has been so faithful giving to me and to my husband over the years. And God is no church's debtor. God is no church's debtor. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the finances that came my way to bring me home to farewell my parents and spend time with my family. Thank you so much. But I want you to know you're doing great things because I'm part of this body, because Ross and I are part of this body. So 33 years now, I have been, and I've been married for 30 years of that. My husband and I have been working amongst the disadvantaged, the needy, the orphans, the street children, the poorest of the poor. We've been working 33 years. This church has been faithful 33 years. God sees that. And God is no man's debtor. God is no church's debtor. And, so we've been working with these people all this time. And you've been with us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So the last 10 years, we have been working in Malawi. Malawi is a very small, landlocked land, as you said, Central Eastern Africa. It's half the land mass of New Zealand, but has over 20 million people. 80% of them live in rural setting and extreme poverty. We are currently living in a community of 2,000, a Muslim community of 2,000, 70% Muslim, but the Muslim chief has invited us in, a husband and I and a couple that we've joined, to have a Christian school in this community. Amazing, huh? Amazing. So we teach the normal curriculum. We also teach Jesus. So you've got little kids called Hamida and Ali, and they are singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." They're going home and they're singing "A Walk in the Light," you know. God is sowing seeds. So the school is 300 people, community, 2,000 people, a wider catchment area where we have children's outreach twice a week. That's of 10,000, all right. So we've got kids in all those places. They play soccer and netball, and we preach the gospel. For instance, last week, Ross, who says hi to everybody and sends his love, last week he's talking about the snake on the pole, you know. Look to the snake on the pole, look to the cross. Sowing seeds into the community. Sowing seeds into this community, and the Holy Spirit will take hold of those. He is bringing a harvest, and that harvest belongs to you. Huh? Not just to us, but to you also. Amen? Amen. You're doing a great thing. You're a great thing. You know, part of the body, you've got a long, long reach. Now, I have the privilege of living in that place. I have the privilege of actually being able to touch people, yeah, to love people, to hug people. And I think that's really important. You know, the scripture that, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Such a privilege that I get to, as part of this body, reaching out as a hand, I get to just live there and go and buy their eggs. Support the local communities, buy their tomatoes, go to the little store, pay three times as much for a bar of soap, but to bless them, yes? And to give pencils and paper to people who cannot even afford that. Where we're living, they literally build a fire once a day and cook over a big pot. They go and get the wood from the trees, yeah? But beautiful people, and they say thank you too. And they love us, and we love them. We're building bridges. Wonderful things are happening. Now, we are also reaching out to village pastors all around us. They get together once a month, and we share the word of God, and we're part of that wider body. And even within the nation of Malawi, we have our people that we go to, and we have local pastors that we are supporting, helping them to maintain their ability to be where they are and share the word of God and be a blessing in their communities. So we're doing all these things. We're making an impact, a wonderful impact, an influence for Jesus. So thank you. Let me see, where else do I want to really go here? Yeah, just that thing I was going to bring out was just, you know, is it necessary to do overseas missions in a day and age where we have internet and you can get stuff off the internet, you know? Well, one, they don't have that, or a lot of them, they don't have phones. Some people do, but a lot of people don't. And of course, we don't even have electricity where we are, or the people around us don't. We have solar. We're blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. But is it necessary? And when I was asking Jesus about that, you know, he said to me, well, you know, we've got five senses, natural senses, and all of these can be done by ear except for one, and that's touch. Yeah? We need to be able to touch the people to actually, you know, do what Jesus did and go and dwell in and amongst. Amen? Amen. So thank you for being a part of what we're doing. So I just wanted to encourage you. This is an awesome church. There have been waves and waves of children, waves and waves over the last 33 years. And we're just getting started. I feel God's got so much more to do. God's got so much more to do. And we're part of this amazing, amazing, you know, dynamic, spiritual dynamic. And I think I'm just going to leave it with that. All right. Okay, was that about 10 minutes? Cool, bless you.
Can we just pray? Should we just pray as a church for Ross and Ray when we just... God, we bless Raywin. We bless Ross. God, for the encouragement that they are, for the hands on the ground that they are. Thank you, Jesus, that your love literally pours out of their hands, God. Increase their love in their eyes for the community that they're around, God. For this Muslim chief, Jesus. We just bless God. We bless this community. His decision-making, God, his wisdom in letting them bring this Christian school. Jesus, that there would be roots taking ground in these children. The seeds that only you know where you're taking them, God, but we bless them. We bless Ross and Rowan's finances, their family. God, everything that their hands touch, we just bless in your name, Father, and we just count it privilege that we get to walk alongside. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Who's feeling encouraged? Don't you love how it's just the heart of you, Raywin, to come and to encourage us? That I feel like, you know, everything that you're doing. We just want to encourage you right back. But that's just the joy of being in the body, right? Just all of the love. Amazing. We have got now, Ben is going to come and share, and we were having a little laugh this morning because anyone that was here will probably agree that Ben could have had a career in commentating sports, but has chosen the way of the Lord and to commentate here instead. So, we just bless you, Ben, as you share today, and are looking forward to hearing what you bring. So thank you.
Kia ora, Jenna. Morena tatou. Morena koutou. Good to see everybody. Alive and well. Or just over the line. Just made it. It's beautiful. Thank you, Rowan. It's awesome. And it's a great privilege to bless and support financially what you're doing in Malawi. And it's wonderful to know that what we give enables you to do what you need to do over there. So that's a great partnership. It's our privilege to honour that. Hey, I just want to honour a few people this morning. Just before I start sharing, I want to acknowledge Sam and Mallory. They had their grandfather pass away recently. Just want to honour you guys. Bless you for that. Sharon had her brother-in-law pass away. Bless you, Sharon. And also Daniel and Alicia, as many of you will know, their father passed away in recent times. So just God, just as we lift up our friends, and life is life and death. We live in the life you have, God, but we are surrounded in the reality of those that we love pass away, those that we care for leave gaps in our lives. So we just know, God, that you're with us, and we just bless these beautiful people. Hold them in their grief. Hold them right now, we ask, Jesus. We thank you. Just thank you that you're with us all, and you're with us every step. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I'll maybe 15 minutes. I just want to open up an idea, or talk on a bigger idea. But we were looking at the kingdom of God, but how our the kingdom of God informs our beautiful values. So you see these beautiful manu on the wall over here, these beautiful birds that Coral Reynolds painted, by the way, that represent each of our values at church. Now, I'm still quite new to the values, and if you ask me, Ben, can you rattle them off? No, I can't. Many of us, if you can, then you're better than I am. But the thing about values is that these are these ideals that we want to embody in our lives. And one of the things about coming to New Plymouth is that I inherit, as coming into be like Lee Kaitiaki, pastor here, is that I inherit all of you guys as the flock, as my flock. Some of you, I'm very pleased about being part of my flock. Others, well, Alistair, we're still trying to work out ways to remove you on. But, you know, isn't that love? Bless you, bro. That's not true. But the reality is that you guys inherit Sarah and I. Some of you weren't part of that decision, but that's what you get. Hey? And hopefully most of you are okay with that. But the reality is that we inherit things, whether we like it or not, or want to or not. One of the things I'm really proud of is inheriting our values. Because I think they're beautiful expressions of what we're called to be as a community. And as I understand that there was a group of people that got together several years ago to sort of determine what are the important things that City Life holds itself to. What are we called to embody as a community? And if you look at different values around different churches around New Zealand, they'll say very similar things. And this morning, I'm going to speak to Nako Puno, which is the kotari, but demonstrating integrity. And part of that value are these kupu, these words that come with that. Truth, trustworthiness, accountability, excellence, unity, honour, purity, loyalty, justice, and self-awareness. I think you all of us would agree there's some good kingdom stuff in there, things that we are to desire in our lives, but not just to, it's not just integrity on its own, but it's demonstrating it. It's a working out. And then someone said to me about integrity. Integrity isn't something that you have. It's shown by the actions of your life. That's what integrity is. And we don't just want to have kind of, I'm integrous. We want people to see that we live lives of integrity to God and to each other. And you see this beautiful kupu, these words underneath. And this morning I'm going to talk a little bit about justice. And we could go so many different places with this, but Selena, a couple of weeks ago, she opened up with arohatia, which is practicing kindness. It's not just kindness, it's outworking kindness. And she talked about the fantail, the piwakawaka, how if you walk in the forest, it travels with you. There's this beautiful creature. It's like being hospitable to you in its happy place in the forest. And this beauty of this bird. And she talked about how, Selena talked about how when she came to faith, the woman in this church here showed beautiful kindness towards her husband. And out of that kindness, he came to faith. And they had this beautiful life together, but because there was this kindness that came out of the church that blessed her family and left a legacy, she said, of something beautiful in their life. And I love that. But this morning, so we're looking at the kotari. It's really interesting that I didn't realize when I moved here that the kotari was part of the value system here in the church. But before we moved from Dannevirke, as soon as we started our role here, as you know that I was commuting a little bit. I've actually been here a year now in the role. My wife and I, we've been here almost 11 months as a family. But as soon as we started here, as I was commuting, what turned up to our house? A kotari, a kingfisher. And it sat on our fence. And it was very strange because I hadn't seen this bird around our house at all. It got my imagination, it got my attention. But what I realized, it wasn't just one, it was two. And what I realized is that I've never seen this before, but I jumped from the fence onto the ground. Kotari have spent very little time on the ground. But they have, as there's many great things about these birds, is they have this ability to see. They have binocular vision, whatever that means. They have this ability to, they have several layers of cover over their eyes. They have this ability to see. And as a boy, I remember watching this kotari sit on the soccer goalpost at Hedlow School. As I was trying to concentrate on my schoolwork, I looked out the window and I saw a kotari sitting on the soccer goalpost. And I remember it sitting there, like it was like it sat there all of class. It never moved. It didn't flinch. The kotari was sitting and observing and seeing. And even back then, I believe God was speaking to me through this funny little bird, this beautiful little bird. They hang out in high places. They never perch on things lower than 1.8 meters. And the word kotari can refer to a stage in the fence of a pa, on a pa side, like a Māori village, used to watch for the enemies. So this part of the pa was where they watched for enemies. And for Māori, the birds were admired by them for their watchful sentry, their ability to see. And when I talk about integrity and ngākaupuna, this idea of outworking integrity, we could talk about our integrity towards God, how we meant to outwalk an integrous walk towards God. I could talk about how we could our integrity towards each other. But I just want to talk a little bit about how we are to demonstrate integrity to our bicultural journey as a church. And I know this for a lot of people, some people it's like this is cool, people understand it. For some others, it's like, what's this all about? What's the fuss? So I want to talk about my own journey and understanding and learning to understand the story of our land. When I was starting social work in 2012, I didn't have a degree, and I was about to enroll. I was enrolled at Massey University to do my master's of social work, applied social work. But then people start asking me about, within the space of a week, people ask me, about five people ask me, Ben, where are you studying? Are you studying at the WA? The WA, what's that? Te Wānanga o Aotearoa. And so I just thought, well, if I'm getting this kind of talk, why don't I look into it? And I decided to look into the option there. It worked out really well. So I travel from Marston to Palmerston North each week for a day study at Te Wānanga. But I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but many of us don't know what it's like to feel like a minority. For me, myself, I'm white, New Zealand European. I've never experienced really what it's like to be a minority. And to come into this place of education, there was certainly an experience that I felt. It wasn't that I was being put down. It was just that I was surrounded by a lot of Māori, different races of different people, and a lot of women in our class, and I was one of three men in about 30. But I've never experienced what it's like to be a minority. Never experienced that, really, apart from living in China where I felt like a superstar, which I wasn't. But our very first paper was on colonization. Our first paper was looking at how Māori had lived here since 900 AD, give or take, and the impact of European coming to New Zealand and the good, the bad, and the ugly that came with that. And I sat there for 3 years. In the second year, I was one of two men in the class. And then my last year, I was the only man in the class with all the aunties. But in that time, I did a lot of listening. And I heard things, some things I didn't understand, things that I didn't agree with. But listen none the less. But I got to see, I feel like for the first time, to try to understand what are some of these grievances that Māori have. I didn't understand if all these things have happened so many years ago, like why can't we move on? If they kind of happened so long ago, and why don't we just, okay, well, we just carry on with life. But what I came to understand is that worldviews, we all carry a worldview. We don't all see the things all the same, but Māori have a particular worldview. Pākehā, whoever, all of us have a worldview, and it's different. Often we think of someone that has another worldview to us, we'll often go, sometimes we'll think, oh, that's wrong. But it's not, it's just that it's different. And I learned to understand that the way that Māori see things is not necessarily the way that I see things. And that's okay. It's actually more than okay. And so today I want to talk a little bit about, and I don't want to speak too much time on this, just thinking about time. And our bicultural journey, how is it that we pay respect to and elevate the mana of our Indigenous people in New Zealand? How do we demonstrate integrity to all people in New Zealand? Because tiriti or waitangi is about all people, but how do we honour the original story, the God story of our land? How do we hold that in place? If Acts 17, this beautiful discourse where Paul discusses to this meeting, but it says that God has determined where people live and their boundaries. God has placed people all around the world, different creed and race. But if God did something here and planted Māori here for his purposes, what does that look like? And one of the things that I understood, that though I didn't fully agree with this, but Māori, some Māori believe and see that Christianity is a tool of colonization. I won't believe that, but that has been a lot of their experience. And so try to understand that and listen to that. It's hard, but it's part of our beautiful story. This guy, a few years ago, I heard this guy called Tamiiti. Many of you have seen him before. Tamiiti has been labeled many things. But he was at a conference, and Tamiiti just shared a bit of his story. He shared about how that at the age, ever since he was born, he lived on the Papakainga. He lives in a Māori village. He spoke the reo. His worldview was a Māori worldview. Connection to land, to atua, connection to whakapapa, to knowing where he comes from. And at the age of eight, I think it was about the age of eight, he's going to school, and his teachers tell him, you can't speak te reo Māori at school anymore. Now, this is all that he's ever known. In fact, if you speak this language, you're going to get punished for it. Now, the question that I raised for me in that hearing that was, what does it tell someone that the world that they've only known is not valued in a place of education, or it's not being valued in the land that he lives in? What does that do to your wairua? How does that make you? Well, as we know, Tamiiti gave his life to activism. He joined Ngā Tamatoa. I think he started this group of activism of young Māori people to raise the level of awareness around tino rangatira, integrity towards Māori. And what does it say about a man where you can't speak your language? What does it say about your worldview? What does it say? What's that being said about his worldview? Is it celebrated? No, it's been diminished. Now, the thing is that we can be critical of other cultures. Whenever we see people of different cultures, I understand, we often will go, I don't understand the outworking of that. I don't know how that works. And you can look at Romans. It says in Romans 3 that all have fallen short of the glory of God. You could also read it that both Jew and Gentile, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But the issue I have is that when people make a critique of another culture, they won't start with their own. They don't go, there's an issue over here, but actually these are some of the issues of my own culture, my own worldview, my own way of being. And that's a problem. If we're to adopt Matthew 7, where Jesus says, take the plank out of your own eye first, I think that's probably where we should start, rather than sort of pointing fingers at others and saying, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. And the beautiful thing about our bicultural journey is not to diminish people. It's about elevating all of us. It's about saying Pākehā, whether Pākehā, that's a big term, whether you're South African, you're Fijian. If you come to this land, you have place here. Totally. But there's also an original story here that we uphold. And I believe that God's purposes, God is still doing and outworking something beautiful in that. And we want to uphold that as a church. Who's this handsome fellow here? Are you with me? I'm going to finish up with a few thoughts. Last year, this is me standing by the sea in Gisborne. In 1926, Elizabeth Salmon, my nana, my dad's nana, arrived with her brother and mum and dad from Wales. And the story goes is that she was lowered down on the SS Osterley, lowered down in this kete onto a smaller boat and then rowed to shore. And they step on the whenua of Aotearoa for the first time, leaving a land that they had known. And I'm standing there giving thanks to God. I'm standing there. This is part of my journey. If my nana never came here, there's no Ben Harrowfield. And I was there honouring that moment of my grandmother and God to say thank you so much. Now, why am I telling you this story? This story is empowered and encouraged by a Māori worldview. I couldn't tell you what my great-grandparents, I couldn't tell you their names. I couldn't tell you many things about them just because of my worldview and my system. Not that it's all bad, not at all. But I actually, as a Westerner, I don't really know where I come from. I know that I'm from Wales, I know that I'm Scottish, I know that I'm English, but I don't know anything about that. I know some things. Harrowfield means to pulverize the field. Us Harrowfields back in England, we were good on the farm, getting the farm ready. But I don't know where my family came from England. I don't know a lot of things. In fact, one of the funniest things is that when I always desired to have a little girl called Ruby. Years and years ago, I met this little girl called Ruby. She was amazing. I thought, one day I'm going to have a Ruby. My wife, Sarah, presents Ruby to my dad and she goes, oh, Ian, this is Ruby. And dad goes, oh, Ruby was my grandmother's name. Which is beautiful. Isn't it an awesome story? But I didn't even know that. And the reason why I'm saying this is that I don't speak for everybody here, but generally speaking, as Westerners, as Anglo-Saxons, as people not necessarily from here, but come from distant shores, we have a short recollection of where we come from. And a Māori worldview has empowered me to go, though I'm not Māori, but I hear often them speaking of where they come from and generationally where they come from, and it inspires me to know more about myself. Because Ben Harrowfield doesn't come just from two people. He comes from a plethora of people and all the way back to God. And I just want to encourage us that knowing our story of the land of Aotearoa, that God has got beautiful things that he wants to do, but to demonstrate integrity to this land, to each other, but to out there, our mission field. Our mission field isn't just Malawi. Our mission field is New Plymouth, Taranaki, New Zealand, the world. But there's an original God story here that we want to show integrity to. And many of us will not fully understand that, and that's okay. You don't have to understand, but an open heart is really important. I'm really grateful that Chris and Beth and the Kaitiaki have incorporated kaupapa Māori words to demonstrate our values. That we have this beautiful whakatauki up the front. Nō te rōrau, nāko te rōrau. Ka ora ai te iwi, that by your food basket, my food basket, we will all flourish. That at the centre of this beautiful picture out there is a Māori worldview, a whakatauki, and yet around that we have scripture that that holds that informs that. And also we've got different nationalities represented in this church who have place here. And we celebrate the diversity of who we are by holding each other in beautiful unity. Philippians 2 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but consider others better than yourselves. Each one of you should just look out to your own needs, but the needs of others, that your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing by taking the form of a servant. Now, after being found in human likeness, he humbled himself to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every other name, so that the name of Jesus, every name, every knee shall bow on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Our lives is about not just looking out for our own needs, but elevating others. Our own lives is not about elevating our own power, but actually giving our power away, as Jesus did. And I think in context for us in Aotearoa, maybe that means that we are willing to enable the mana and the power and the ability of others to thrive and flourish in this land for all people, not just one or select two, but for everybody. But we don't neglect and forget the original story of God's beautiful intention in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Do you know that before the New Zealand settlers came to bring the gospel to New Zealand, that a tohunga had a vision? A tohunga is like a Māori, a spiritual person. And the Spirit of God said to him, there is a new God coming to this land. His name will be the son who was killed, but the people will still be oppressed. That even before Pākehā Europeans came here with many great things, but many challenging things, and with the gospel of God, they were bringing this new message of hope, yet there's going to be issues with that. You know, one of the things, this beautiful things happening in our land, in Taranaki here, we have up at St. Mary's. Have you ever been up there? This funny looking building called Te Wari Ononga. It's a place where the church up there have said, look, we've been part of the grievance of the past here in Taranaki. That the military used camped on top of up by the church there. They were camped there before they started to create war here. But they're on this road of reconciliation to say, you know, this grievance we want to undo and lift the mana of mana whenua, the people that live nearby here. And so that beautiful building up there next to the cathedral is a place of learning, a place of growth, of coming together to share stories and grow together, not diminishing the other, but lifting the other up. Do you know that our church, pretty much all of New Plymouth, we all sit on confiscated land? Now, we could say, well, that's so far in the past, Ben, and it is. And we could go, well, that's forgotten. But what about those who actually had the land and it was taken off them? What does that do to them economically, to their spirit? Well, I don't think it enhances them. It actually brings them down. So the question is, how can we partner in that and about elevating and helping to maybe undo some of the terrible things that have been done in Taranaki and New Zealand and go, how do we bring hope for the gospel of Jesus to all people here and honouring the original God story? That's a big question. But, and I think City Life, I'm really grateful for the church that we sing in Te Reo Māori. I'm grateful that we are willing to, you know, embrace something that's different. Because even though we don't have a lot of Māori in our church, we would still be doing this. We'd still be trying to understand the story of the land. And it's a great start with our whakatauki, with our kupu, with singing in the reel. But I think it's a start, but there's plenty of place to go. But how can we progress in understanding our bicultural journey? By the way, Jay Ruka talks about in his book, Who You Come Home, and the book is over there in the library if you want a copy. But he makes this comment that we are a multicultural nation held in the fabric of a bicultural journey. So if we can get this biculturalism thing right, hopefully that all people understand that we've all got place, like I've said, but there's a responsibility and an opportunity for us to honour the original God story here. We could learn about local stories. We could learn, if we want to grow and understand, we could learn local stories. We could learn about Taranaki tikanga. How do Māori and Taranaki do things? We could learn the language. We could learn the reo. And, you know, yeah, I'm going to say this. We all carry prejudice. We all do. A prejudice is a preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience. And I'm just going to finish up now just to say that, you know, God wants to keep looking at our hearts. And if this bicultural stuff, if you're like, Ben, I don't fully understand it, let's have a conversation. Let's talk about it. Let's throw out some of these questions and go, how do we work through this? I don't fully understand it, because I'm not going to have an argument, because this is part of our kaitiaki, our standing is that we want to uphold this position of a bicultural journey, but we want to do it together. And it's all part of it's all for us. Come have a conversation. But there's so much hope in this, my friends, so much beauty in this that we are richer for it. You all okay there? Let me finish by saying a prayer. Father, we just want to thank you. God, you created the world. And you called Adam and Eve to steward creation. And though they messed it up, Jesus, you've come to right the wrongs of the first Adam. And you're reconciling all things into yourself. And I pray, God, that as a church, a city life, that we would see ourselves in Ngā Kaupuna, this idea of demonstrating integrity to everybody. That we would have an ability to see the beautiful story of the gospel coming to Aotearoa, the intent of the gospel coming here to set the captives free, to release people, to bring healing, to bring salvation to all people. That we would be able to see that outworked in such beautiful ways, and be able to see that through different worldviews we can understand the gospel in different and beautiful ways, that we can all grow and be nourished together. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would help us in this. As Pākehā, I don't fully understand it, but I want to be better at understanding. Help us to understand. Help us to know that this is part of all of our story. Help us, God, to be encouraged in this for the days ahead. That in our diversity, we could hold a beautiful sense of unity as we hold each other together and respect each other and love each other as you've called us to. And we ask for this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So I just want to leave it there. Jenna's going to close. But if anyone had any questions, or if you want some prayer, if Holy Spirit's been speaking to you about some of this stuff, love to pray with you. God bless.
Amazing. Thanks, Ben. I love that we are a church that, I feel that we're a church that encourage growth and not, how do I say this? Like not, if any of what Ben has shared today feels like, I am so in on this, God, like, yes, I don't know how to explain what I feel in me, but that I want to understand more, amazing. If you're feeling like, God, I do not like this, or there's something in this that hits something in me, good, because both are an invitation into love. Both are an invitation into a deeper connection with God and with each other. And we can't be afraid of things that make us feel uncomfortable. I feel like they're an invitation. So however that all sits, good, good. Take it to Jesus. Come and talk. Share it. And let's do this as a journey together. I think we've got a really cool space for that. So amazing. And as we wrap up now, I want to encourage you as well. The people that we thought of earlier in worship, and as we prayed for them, I don't know, maybe hold them before God as well this week. Is there a message you can send? Is there a meal you can take or an invitation you can offer to them to catch up or something? I don't know, but I want to leave that with you as well. So have a wonderful week, everybody. And I hesitated because I was going to say we haven't been here a lot and I won't be here again next week. Zach and I are going to Rarotonga. So we will not be here, and I don't know why I told you that. Maybe I'm just getting excited. Anyway, now I'm blabbering on. Oh. Yeah? Okay. Zoe, you won't have seen Zoe for a little while. She is good. Her and Simon are good. I'm sure she will love a message from you. So, Liz was just asking, but pop her a message, and I'm sure she'll love to hear from you. Yeah. Cool. Anyway, have a great week, everybody. See you in a few.